Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week in league, Knopf is placed on polio watch after revealing he's been playing with both a hernia and shin splints.
Jared Hayne pelted with apples on his first day in jail after the prisoner's requests for gummy clits was denied.
Alex McKinnon applauds the NRL headshot crackdown after he had grave concerns that all the good parking spots would get really busy.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 11 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 400 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you doing, fellas?
Great, thanks.
400.
You recovered from Magic Round? You good?
Yes.
400. And how good is it that we're all here instead of for 300, where people had to make special one-off appearances?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
What a fucking turnaround. Yes.
Was that the infamous Hot and Spicy Nuggets or Zinger Nugget episode for 300?
That was, yes.
Was that actually 300, was it? Okay, yeah,
that was when I was on the way over.
Yeah.
And you were like, I've driven a long way and I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry. I'd be so hungry.
I had a long previous history of being fed when I entered that house, and I got there and the cupboard was fucking bare.
Did you check the barbecue?
Shit was unacceptable.
You were in the house of the most, of like my favourite food Instagram account.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find anything to eat.
This motherfucker ain't going to let me near his barbecue.
That may have been before I set off on the adventure. That may have been before I set off on that adventure, I think.
Oh, how good.
But potentially. But yeah, I mean, it's funny to have 400, but I mean, going 2 a week is obviously massively brought forward the timeline. Mm. And it's really a shame that, you know, we didn't do one extra episode somewhere along the line to make 400 coincide with like Sunday night,
yeah,
and like Magic Round,
yes,
because then obviously I think plans would have been, you know, set in motion to do something then. But I had a brief look through the calendar today, you know, assuming 2 a week going through, you know, with a couple of exceptions, like, you know, at the end of the year and stuff like that. Mm. And I think there's going to be another, fuck, how many this year? I can't remember what the figure is, but it's not that far away from the grand final next year for 500.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Stop
based
it.
On the current trajectory. So that would be fucking epic, because that is, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's worth raising the bat. Sort of every 100.
Just a live show on stage with all the fuckwits in the crowd just heckling the shit out of us. Could you imagine Trotters, Hammers, fuck, Jesus.
You would be an absolute living hell for you.
I can't.
Living hell for you.
Because the two you've just mentioned don't ever fucking show up to meetups anyway.
Oh.
So no,
oh.
I can't imagine that.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold as ice, brother.
There are people I can imagine there that have consistently shown up to meetups.
Yeah, yep. Like your Grovers and so on.
There are people I can imagine there who bought memberships the night of a meetup just to turn up to the members function because they weren't able to make it to the grand final day function. So I can imagine those.
True.
But the two you mentioned, I cannot imagine.
Wow.
And I have a very vivid imagination.
Yes, you do. That much I will agree with.
To learn some of the things that are in my imagination.
No, I would not be shocked.
So in any case, it's a nice little milestone to hit. But the work isn't done. So we plough on.
How many till we catch Cam Smith?
Oh, fuck. What did that cunt end up?
It was like 420 something.
Oh, fuck. I did say that would be the end, didn't I? I don't know. I have to look it up. Let's get the exact, the line in the sand here. Cameron Smith, here we go. How many did he fucking play? I mean, then you get into the thing. Is it just club matches?
Yeah.
433 club matches. And then if you throw the other shit like All-Stars and everything on the pile, you know, you can add basically just over another 100 to that.
Yeah, righto.
Queensland, Australia, All-Stars. So, you know, those guys there. So, 433. We'd almost get to that by the end of the year, I reckon.
Nice.
So there you go. 433, episode 434. Once that's in the bag, that's it.
Hang it up.
Yeah. And pray that he doesn't fucking feel like he's missing out on too much attention and then, you know, does it pulls an Albert Kelly comes back to play fucking seven for the Broncos in 2025 or something. Now news this week. What the fuck was the news this week? I saw a couple. I didn't see anything, you know, massively interesting to me, but I will just bring a couple of stories up. Like signing news, it's fucking boring. Actually, it's all signing news at the moment, though, isn't it? I mean, Origin won't really... After this weekend, I guess the Origin talk will start really ramping up again. Who's playing, you know, who are the Bolters, who's this and who's that? But is there anything particularly...
All of the news this week are signing rumours, and it's things that I hope will happen, such as Mitchell Pearce being signed by the Cronulla Sharks.
Yes.
I hope that happens.
That would be tremendous.
I haven't hoped this hard since I was a, you know, 8-year-old kid waiting for Optimus Prime on Christmas Day. Everything else is hearsay and rumour. So,
I think it's more than hearsay that the Broncos have continued their signing spree by signing Queensland State of Origin star Branko Lee. And they've got massive revenge on the Melbourne Storm.
That was dramatic pause for effect.
By signing Branko Lee.
That's it. Well, like, actual rep player. Rep player.
Yeah, I mean, technically...
But
the same reason that in the same sort of line and rationale that Corey Allen is Queensland's fullback.
Yeah, true. And have they fallen into the trap? Spoilers. Yes, they have. Of expecting people outside of Melbourne to perform like they did inside Melbourne's system.
Yeah, like honestly, players that left Melbourne, how many of them excelled?
Harry Grant.
Greg Inglis. But I mean, I dare say that they didn't build Greg Inglis either down there. I mean, that guy was always a special player and was always going to be
correct
the player he was, even if he had played for the Bulldogs.
Yep.
I think he still would have been trucking people on his way to a ton of losses. But yeah. I think he still his individual game probably would have been similar. Tohu Harris is going okay for the Warriors. I mean, Matt Orford's the king example. I mean, like, he fucking left and got the Dally M the very next year.
But you talk about one season.
Yeah. And of course, Steve Bell, the same. But...
Anyone else, you're talking about people like Maloney, who really were never a Storm system player anyway. Like, he spent some time there.
Yep.
But, yes, will be interesting to see. And
now we did say though the other day,
yes,
on Sunday or Monday night, we were going to talk about the whole crackdown.
The crackdown.
And so I think that's probably the biggest story of the week. So. Is this going to be the final crackdown? Is that what you're saying? Of course, it's not going to be the final fucking crackdown. What are you doing? So, thoughts about the crackdown? And who wants to start?
Give it, time, fuck's sake.
The most divisive thing since the start of the season when the new rules sucked.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's the most divisive thing in 2 months.
Mm.
Since the last divisive thing.
I will say that the timing of it to be implemented on a weekend, and that was really showcasing the sport for Magic Round. I've probably got some questions around that, but I also completely get the reasoning behind the crackdown and the long-term view around potential, you know, and I think, you know, there's an underlying feeling that, you know, and Philandis has pretty much said something along these lines that, you know, in 10 to 15 years, there's potential, you know, litigation and stuff like that around CTE and guys with serious repercussions from concussions and head knocks and all the rest of it. So I can see why, and I don't disagree with it. I think they have to do something for the longevity of the game and the safety of the players. But to have such a crackdown and the way that the referees really, you know, carried out their instructions and implemented to the letter of the law, it probably took away from the spectacle of Magic Round on the field, in my opinion, to some degree.
I dare say that players getting sent off the field actually created more spectacle, such as people every single time play stopped and it looked like a penalty was going to be awarded. There was the excitement that it could be attached to it. It made it. It was like a lottery environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was like one of those movies where, you know, like you're watching a horror movie that's got no cast members you've ever seen before, so you don't know who's going to go next. And so there was some genuine tension in every single tackle of the game, because was it going to slip up? If it did, was the person getting sent? Who knows? Everything was on the table.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I think the only complaint I have about it is it was way too quickly implemented. Like, the amount of notice was so minimal. And obviously players should be able to conduct themselves in such a way where they're not fucking hitting guys high.
Yep.
Day to day. But just the advance notice about this was going to happen and how severe it was going to be and all that sort of thing was obviously a fucking ambush to all involved.
Yep.
And could have been, you know, implemented in a more, I guess, not as scaled up level, and also with a bit more of a run up. This is not going to be the way things are going forward. I would imagine we'll see less this weekend as they sort of dial it back a touch, but I still think we're going to see some
for sure,
because the it's like, and I always bring it back to that penalty blitz in like April 2018. Same thing. There was a couple of weeks of that before the media and everything got to such a stage where they felt like they had to sort of back it off a little bit.
I get that. I don't feel this is an accurate comparison because of what you may have mentioned of before. There wasn't the genuine risk of legalities obliterating the game in its entirety in the future with that penalty blitz. So
yeah,
what Philandis is doing here is a lot for show, and it's a lot to be able to say that they took swift and immediate action with zero tolerance on XYZ. Now, the only way this could have been better implemented is if it was done sooner. You know, it's not feasible for them to go, look, head highs are bad and they're causing concussions, but we're going to let you do it for 6 weeks while you get used to things. There's no punishments while you get used to things. What they've done here is gone, we have no tolerance on this. It's now gone. Yep. The funny thing is, a couple of weeks ago, there were a bunch of people talking, and, you know, Paul Gallen was one of them. around, they know what they're getting into, and, you know, all of these people have played the game. I've never met anyone that's got issues. I've never met anyone that's, you know, losing their memory. I've never met anyone like this. Just today, mm-hmm. I read an article where he says that he carries around a notebook and a pen now because he's afraid he forgets things. You know? And
yep.
And it's fucking scary if you think about it. All of a sudden, there's enough focus on this and it's become publicly acceptable to see head trauma and its effects later in life as an issue, right? And this happens all the time. When things are spoken about and when things are brought out into the open, there's an acceptance of them, and so the stigma around yep. them goes, and now people are talking about it. Like Spud Carroll was talking about on whatever show he's on, about how it's an absolute worry for him.
Yeah.
You know, that he thinks about how he played the game and knowing what they know now about HIAs and players not being able to play. He's talking about him and people he knows that were knocked out the week before then just got in and went straight back to it the following week. So I think that on its own means that the crackdown doesn't really ease off.
Yep.
And again, in a perfect fucking world, yes, they would have done it at the end of last season and said, we're going to implement this for next season. Here's a whole off season. But then the counter argument to that is it's always been illegal to hit cunts in the head.
Yes, that's it.
So
and so what it comes down to more, not so much the ruling and having to rub it out, because, I mean, that's... Even though, you know, before crackdown, I mean, it was part of the rules of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not new. They didn't change the rules. What they did was change the referees, the severity of the punishments for it. Instead of putting something on report and dealing with it at the judiciary, you know, that now it's, you know, a guy could get binned
yes.
or sent off.
Yes. So that's what's changed. Instead of missing potentially, you know, 2 weeks following, you miss some time now. Which also, the other thing that you've heard bleeding for ages is, somebody throws a head high in, oh, well, where's our advantage? We lose a play to an HIA, potentially for the whole game. Where's our advantage?
And they get suspensions later, but we don't get anything out of that in the night.
Well, you fucking got it now.
Yeah. And they'll still find a way to complain,
though. That's it.
So
this is exactly
all I want. People have been like, in principle, got no problem with any of it. The only thing that I want to see is, like, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard because these things, they're never exact replicants of each other, you know?
That's it.
In terms of tackles that are made. But, I mean, like that one that Tyson Gamble got binned for against Manly on Friday night, was it worse than the Matt Lodge one in, like, the first fucking set?
Yeah, that's
or was it.
It
worse than, or was it worse than Tyson Gamble's in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably not.
Yep.
You know, but they didn't start, you know, sending guys until, you know, 20 minutes before the end of the game. When it was kind of over. So that's the part they really need to fix up. And look, I get it. I mean, it's so hard to put like a black and white criteria on these things, because if it was a black and white criteria and it's like any contact above the shoulders is gone, then we'll start getting sevens.
Yeah.
And that sort of shit getting played. So look, it's hard for them to have discretion to keep in balance. So... I don't have any answers here. I just hope it's more consistent, or they can kind of work to find, you know, the criteria of, you know, it's a penalty, like, I'm sure, a minimum penalty every time there's the slightest contact with the head. That's the first step. Then they need to find some sort of methodology on it. How do they differentiate that stuff? Like, what's a penalty? What's a sin bin? What's a send off?
Yeah, I think that's a big challenge for the referees as well.
Huge challenge.
You know, implement that sort of criteria and judgment on each particular tackle on the fly. One thing I was thinking about just today was, imagine some of the biggest, you know, head highs from the game over the years. If those tackles happened like last weekend, or probably for the next few weekends until they work it out. Or not, you know, from here on in, say, you know, Hopewadi on Galloway or Terry Lamb on Ellery Hanley, 89 grand final. You know, look, are these cunts playing again ever if that happens? Like, the suspensions
Well, I mean, like they, you know, the Hopper one pretty much did fucking close his career down.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sent off on the day and then he received some astronomical like 12 weeks or something on the back end of it as well. So it was one that was probably
adequately punished.
As badly as it would have been. As badly as it would have been today. I mean, but there's some other, like the Terry Lamb one wasn't fucking punished though.
He won a grand final.
At all. Yeah. He was on the field that whole fucking game. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean that one would have been different for sure. Yeah, because he would have been sent for an absolute fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I think may happen is there's been a lot of talk about using a 5-minute sin bin.
Yeah.
Instead of a 10. You know, all these things tend to worry the fans of peasant clubs, because what happens to elite clubs is you get a player sent off the field, you score 2 tries. And then your player comes on with fucking fresh legs because they've just had 10 minutes at a Gatorade. So, you know, fucking Viva Love Landies.
Are there any other stories you want to talk about in particular? I mean, it's all just speculation and about player movements and things like that.
Yeah, that's it. That's really
unless you want to talk about the you know the return of Albert Kelly to rugby league. I mean, because he's just been playing England, obviously, it doesn't really count. And what that means for Milford. But honestly, hashtag fuck the Broncos.
Yeah, that's it. Look, the other one that I wanted to talk about was that the NRL have committed to trialling 2 new technologies to help detect forward passes. So at this stage, those claims are being made by the inventors of the technology, which of course they're gonna
obviously talk their share price up.
That's it. It's early stages, but what they've agreed to is a trial of the technology in training matches to determine if it meets their needs. So, you know, again, this is the sort of thing. If they were doing this and shoving it in a game and saying, now we've got this technology, then I'd have massive issues with that. Unlike the head high blitz, it looks like they're going to go very, very slowly with this. It's ex-NASA technology or ex-NASA technicians that are working on it.
Yep.
But, hopefully they can get rid of forward passes, but also stop that issue of judging passes that are released backwards but float forwards due to momentum being called as forward.
What's the timetable for that?
No timetable yet. It's just very early stages.
Because the idea, rather than like you know training matches, I think they should just do the same thing as they did last year for the you know award the try straight away and
when
you know set up dead the rubbers. Conversion. Like, yeah, just like in the last couple of games in the year when, you know, like peasants like the Dogs and the Broncos are playing.
Yeah, that's it.
Just put them in there where it doesn't affect anything.
Yep.
And go from there.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, let's look forward to some games, round 11 games coming up this weekend. Thursday night, we're back, and it's the Abattoir. With the North Queensland Cowboys taking on the Newcastle Knights. Cowboys side has Cohen Hersey failing HIA, so he's out. Gilbert comes in the starting side, and Halem Lukey joins the bench, and he'll be making his NRL debut. And you just look at that sort of out of peripheral vision, it's like a helium, you know, so I'm sure that's what people are going to call him. The Knights, Heimel Hunt's done his hamstring, he's out. Braden Musgrove returns to the wing, and that's that. So, Tex Hoy at fullback again. And Musgrove and Phoenix Crosland in the halves.
Cowboys big winners for me.
I think so.
Newcastle didn't impress me at all last week.
No, and the Cowboys are quietly playing okay.
Yes.
Yeah, they're playing better than average, and they're hanging in their games. And you know, jagging a lot of wins as well.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they're looking like you know potentially the 2021 Queensland team premiers from the little round robin series. There, the Knights, like there's absolutely nothing He's got Bradman Best is in the side here that I'm looking, but I'm sure I saw that he's had a very, very minor hamstring injury, maybe, and so he's going to be out for like a week or two.
Kurt Mann's in the sense.
Yeah, I don't. That's it. I don't have Bradman Best in. I think the difference here is going to be in the halves, in that, you know, Newcastle's got a forward pack that on its day can match up with most.
Yep.
You know, Clem and Saifidi and Frizzell have really got a massive ceiling. You can't say too many bad things about a forward pack that includes Tom Lolo and Jordan McLean. But I think Clifford and Drinkwater are starting to build such a nice little combination with each other, or more than starting to build, really do have a synchronization that comes out well. So at home, Cowboys too hard to beat.
Yep. At home, anywhere, doesn't fucking matter, I think. Cowboys are too good. Is it
the type of combination, Jay, that you would then blow up in preference of Dearden and Townsend?
Mate, exactly.
It still fucking baffles me.
They've spent a lot of money on stuff that on areas they probably didn't exactly need.
I know I keep bringing it up and I keep harping on it, but you just, if it was me, I would just stick with those guys.
But again, with everyone that's out, what they need is some strike power in their outside backs. Like, they've got Val Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a fantastic winger, okay fullback. And apart from that, like, Cole Felt's getting to the end.
Yep.
Who else have they got that excites you in their outside backs?
Yeah, like, you know, like Hammer probably.
Yeah.
Is an exciting player, but yeah, you know, they're not a, you know, there's not an embarrassment of riches or anything there at all.
That's it. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. I think Cowboys too good.
Agreed.
Friday night pub slot game with two of the great pub sides. The Warriors take on the West Tigers at Central Coast Stadium. The Warriors side. Okay, so Bailey Sirinen's injured. Josh Curran, Rocco Berry also injured. Marcelo Montoya returns. Murchie goes into the starting side and Kane Evans back in as well. West Tigers, 1-17, same as last week. James Roberts is on the bench, or in the extended reserves, I should say. But I don't think he'll be forcing his way in there just quietly. I think the Tigers are just going to stay with what worked, pending injury, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they guys go up. Warriors extremely up and down side. I think they're there for the taking for the Tigers.
I agree. I think the Tigers will continue last week's form, sprinkle a bit of improvement over it, and be far too good for the Warriors.
Mm.
Too strong. What area
are they going to improve there?
Sorry?
What area are they going to improve?
Oh, I just think that you know, they were a little bit soft in patches against the Knights and allowed the Knights to score a couple of soft shithouse tries, which they've had in their game, and I think they need to, if they can tighten that up and continue the, you know, the attack that they showed last week, I think they're more than capable of handling the Warriors. Sorry, wait a sec. They can definitely handle the Warriors in the forwards, and I think just the attack that we showed last week will it'll be enough to get over the Warriors.
Is scoring a 50 burger last week a risk to the Tigers?
Well, we didn't score 50.
They didn't get close to 50. What are you fucking talking about?
Scored 36.
Sorry, 30. But is the blowout they had too much of a risk to their ego? Like, are they at a stage where they're grounded enough to realise...
No, I'm not fucking grounded at all, mate. That much is clear.
Oh, God. Because I remember, what I see a lot of in the West Tigers now is a Penrith side from probably, you know, sort of 3 or 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where they were so fucking inconsistent and there was so much potential there.
and they'd have one of those outstanding games where everything just clicked and everything looked smooth, and the next week would just be an absolute shambles, and whoever they played would put 18 on them in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, to that, I'd say that it's pretty obvious that in large part the reason for our inconsistency has been a real lack of confidence. And I think last week, you know, they sort of broke the shackles a little bit in attack, and that'll give guys like Tommy Talau, who had a great game, confidence. I think Dewey with, you know, the game in the centres, and there's not as much talk around the selections this week. Brooks was great last week. So I think that the extra confidence should give them, you know...
Should be a positive.
Yeah, I think so. To trot it out again, but, you know, it is still the Tigers, and the way they've gone this year, and we've all made plenty of jokes about it. There's nothing to say they won't get done by... the Warriors will come out and they'll have a Diamonds game, and the Tigers' confidence will be shot again for another week. But I'm saying we'll beat them by 30.
Nice.
By 30, all right. I think the Tigers can definitely win. I'm happy to put the kiss of death on them.
Thank you.
The Sharks take on the Dragons in the late Friday game at Netstrata Jubilee. The Cronulla side unchanged 1-17. Sean Johnson on the reserve bench. The Dragons side. Okay, here we go. They were one of the more affected sides by the crackdown, as we saw last weekend. And Maguire, Fuimaono, Rawalawa and Sims all suspended. Dufty's out injured, so Ramsey gets his chance and goes to fullback. Pereira returns on the wing. Finai comes in as well, Max Finai. Burns replaces Fuimaono in the centres, while Ford and Famasili are the new second row combo, and Jaden Hunt is debuting from the bench. Look, it was all doom and gloom for Dragons around their fan base after their game, and, you know, wondering what was going to happen at the judiciary. And as I look at their lineup as it stands there, I don't think it's that bad. I think that's about the best side that they could put together.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that bad. Especially against the Sharks, who are in full tank mode.
Dufty's a big loss.
Massive.
He is a big loss, but I mean, it's you know, he's definitely on the outer too, though, at the same time.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Dragons that I don't get, and I have mentioned it previously, and I'm not sure if it was Trotters or someone else that come back and said that the reason that Dufty isn't being re-signed, or they're hesitating to re-sign Dufty, is because they've got their sights set on Cody Ramsey as the one. So I'm interested to see how he travels in Dufty's absence with his opportunity at fullback. What I've seen of Cody Ramsey doesn't impress me to any great deal, but he certainly doesn't have that one factor of blistering speed that Dufty has, which I just don't know why he'd be so willing to shift that on, if nothing else, but anyway.
The perception they have, and the Dragons organisation has, is that Duffy's obviously a great attacking player, but he's not a complete fullback. And so I guess they're saying on the other side of things, you know, defensive and things like that, they don't feel he's a complete, like he's an actual fullback.
Okay.
Whereas Cody Ramsey's preferred position is fullback, and now he gets his chance. And I remember reading an article today saying that, like, you know, like Dufty was struggling to get a new deal as it was.
Yeah.
Or he was, you know, or he wasn't struggling to get a new deal, but nothing had been decided. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he was in that mode where he's, you know, trying to earn himself his next contract, and now he's got the injury. It's opened the door here for Ramsey, and that could spell the end.
Yeah. Fuck.
I think Dragons will be too good still, even with the outs and the suspensions. Yeah. I think they'll be too good for the Sharks.
It's tough. I mean, like the Sharks did play some, you know, they had some good moments in that game against the Rabbits. I mean, but they had gone down 20-0 before those moments happened. You know, and when they did start to get some points, when they did wake, you know, they kind of woke Souths up again, and they sort of finished them off with a quick try or two at the end there. But yeah, it's really hard to pick the Sharks at all, because no matter what happens with the losses, or the, you know, how heavy the losses are, they'll trot out the same 1-17 pending injury week in, week out, and there's just no, doesn't seem to be any real urge for improvement, or you know, like, they're not changing things up to win. It's just like they're really just marking time until next year.
Yeah, the Sharks to me haven't adjusted to the tempo of the game. They're probably one of the sides that have adjusted to the new normal a little bit less effectively than others, in that their whole game plan previously was, we'll beat sides that we're probably not supposed to beat by frustrating them into a loss, by slowing them down, by turning it into a grind, and by out-shit-countrying them, you know, within the game. And now, you just can't do that because a weight of possession ends up against you, and it's untenable to operate games like that. So until Cronulla can adjust to that, then I don't think there's going to be too much consistency there.
I think Cronulla have a handful of guys, Fifita being one, Woods being another, and dare I say it, as much as I love the guy, and I've always been, even from Penrith Junior days, Wade Graham, to a lesser degree than the other two, but certainly it still applies to him. I think the 2021 NRL style, the game's passed them by.
Yep.
And you can't have, well, there's three names off the top of my head, and if I look through their entire roster, there's probably a couple more.
Yeah.
You can't have that many players in your top 25, top 30 that are unable to be competitive to the same level that they have been across their career in today's game. And I think, and then put in, you know, in tandem with the fact that they've got a caretaker coach who is doing exactly that. He's a caretaker. He's, he's mowing the lawn, he's keeping the hedges trimmed, and fuck all else. There's, you know, it's Fitzgibbon's job from next year, but, you know, this year I feel like they've already put it in the bin.
Yep. Agree. Now, where are we? The Titans take on the Doggies at our Hope Solo Coliseum. SASA and Peachy have been suspended from the Titans. Tino moves to lock. Big Mo starts up front. Stone and Clark join the bench. And Ash Taylor is in 21 on the extended bench. Doggies. Okay, so Tui Katoa is out, so Meany moves to the wing. Aaron Shoup named at centre for his debut. Dylan Napa replaces Ogden on the bench. And Dory replaces Elliott in the back row. Elliot goes to the bench.
Titans would want to bounce back.
The Titans would want to bounce back.
They're at home, and it is the Dogs.
Yep. Look, and I mean, you can't tip the Dogs in good conscience.
No.
But in saying that, you know, I could, you know, if the Dogs were to win, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I mean, the Titans, like, we know they've got, you know, great forward pack.
Yes. This is also the team that lost a game having a lead, having a two-player advantage against a team that had scored, what was it, 4 points over 3 or 4 second halves of football?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's take that into account.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you have to assume the Gold Coast Titans are going to win this game.
Yes.
But it's one of the ones that I'm, one of the you know, less confident picks, even though it seems obvious on paper. I mean, the Titans, you know, you remember they raced out to that lead against the Broncos. It was like 22-0 after as many minutes.
And then failed.
They were pretty much pulled back by half time.
Yeah.
You know, in that game. I mean, and the Dogs are one of those sides that will just sort of hang around there and just take the abuse for a while, and then all they need is something to fire them up, be it a, you know, a high tackle, or if they manage to jag a try or something, and they have shown that they can put, like, you know, a couple back to back. So, look, I would never make a pick other than the Titans for this game, but you know, I can see a world where the doggies somehow jag it, because the Titans have been disappointing lately.
Yeah, agreed.
The Roosters take on the Broncos at the SCG Saturday afternoon. Roosters 1-17 from last week, which has got to be a first for this year.
Yes.
Or close to it. Yeah, I mean, so they've hit rock bottom. The Broncos side, big changes, huge changes. Albert Kelly comes into the club and straight into 5'8". Anthony Milford has been dropped to Intrust Super Cup again. Corey Oates is out of the side, I imagine because of how much he was burned by Saab. Ricky is suspended.
Corey Oates is out with third-degree burns.
Keenan Palacio comes in on the bench for Jordan Ricky. Kobe Hetherington replaces Danny Levi on the bench. And Levi goes to the 21 jersey on the extended
Is Ricky
bench.
Suspended?
He is. So, look, Sam Walker revenge game.
To say that Broncos team looks uninspiring would be a fair understatement.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And their one nominal strength in their side with their forward pack doesn't really particularly look that strong when compared to a massively injury-riddled Rooster side that can still bring out, you know, your Letters and your Isaac Lewis, your Crichton,
Radley. Please.
Radley. Yeah. Honestly, like, if Radley doesn't get HIA'd in this game, the Roosters are going to fucking win by plenty.
Correct.
Plenty.
Yeah. And if he does, they'll win by a small margin.
Yeah, I feel like he's really super important to that side.
Yeah, he is.
Like the wheels can come off them without Radley, but you know, then they've got like Takeahu's sitting there on the bench, and that Butcher, I mean, it's, you know,
yep,
fucking Broncos smashed by what is like the sixth strength variation of the Rooster side.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Yeah.
So you know, perhaps they've reached rock bottom in terms of injuries. The Raiders take on Storm GIO Canberra in Canberra. Okay, so Whiten, Papali and Hodgson all took early pleas. They're all suspended for this match. Sam Williams comes in to partner George Williams in the halves. Denamis Louis goes into prop, and Brad Schneider joins the side for Hodgson. Hudson Young plays lock.
Yep.
Sutton returns early to fill the vacant bench spot. And the Melbourne Storm side, Nicho Hynes returns to fullback with Pappy failing his HIA from being knocked out in the game last weekend. Chris Lewis in the halves with Jerome Hughes. The Cheese is back at hooker and replacing the injured Tyson Smoothie. And Aaron Penne joins the bench. Look, I found the Canberra Raiders uninspiring, and while they sort of, you know, sort of, I guess technically they kind of broke their second half hoodoo thing.
Thor.gif.
Yeah, it was against the Dogs, and I'm not convinced. Melbourne Storm, they can compete with any side in the competition with this variation of their side right now that is riddled with injuries.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
And missing a couple of their best players, you know.
It's such a shame that a replay of the grand final from two seasons back is nowhere near as exciting as it should be. And I blame Ricky Stewart squarely for killing rugby league in Canberra.
It's so bad they've got to trot out the Williams sisters in the halves. I can't see Melbourne. I can't see Canberra getting within 40 points of Melbourne, to be quite honest.
I don't think it'll be that kind of margin.
Mate, they let the Dogs score points against them last week.
Well, then again, so did the Storm.
Well, you make
Dogs put 18
on the Storm. Valid point.
So, basically, two shit clubs, hold them both.
Storm by plenty. Agreed.
Yes.
The Rabbitohs take on the Panthers at Apex Oval. Where's Apex Oval, Jared?
Wagga?
Wagga.
I want to say Wagga.
Right. Latrell is back at fullback.
Every time. No, Dubbo.
Dubbo. That's, yeah, Dubbo.
Dubbo.
Yeah.
Dubbo. I remember I had a mate's sister, and she, you know, we're up in Brisbane, and she moved down to, and she was, you know, going to university or, you know, work, living down in Dubbo. And she used to talk about, you know, oh, when, you know, she was in Sydney, and in Sydney, I mean, like, you went fucking Sydney.
You in Sydney, you're in fucking Dubbo.
You're in fucking Dubbo. It's a big fucking difference, mate. Don't try to fucking pull it over.
It's like living in Faulconbridge and saying, I'm from Penrith. Fucking Faulconbridge, mate.
That's a niche one. What are you going to try and do? Fuck him in the ankle again.
Yeah, why not?
Wow. Fuck, so you die on some strange hills.
Doesn't he?
It's like, who's the nicest, most popular cunt that I can hate?
Yeah, I don't hate him. I love him with everything that I have, which is why I mercilessly...
Which is fucking hatred. That's all you have. Yeah. I've seen the way you parent.
Now, all this hate aside, Latrell Mitchell is back at fullback for the Rabbits.
Yes.
So, Benji resumes his interchange position. Cody Walker goes back into the halves. Mansell returns to the wing for his revenge game.
Oh.
And Jacob Host returns to replace Hamaselli. So look, it's a, while not full strength, it's a better looking Rabbit side than we've seen in many a week.
Yeah, really is. Panther, how long's Cam Murray out for?
I've no idea. Plenty though. Campbell Graham's in 21, so he's edging his way back. But yeah, I've no idea about Murray. Okay, so the Panther side. Capewell returns, Liam Martin's benched, and Hopgood is off the interchange. Otherwise, about the same.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to this game.
Yeah, this is one of the true tests for Penrith. And again, I'll repeat what I say every week, that every week people come at them playing their best football.
Mm.
And yeah, they're obviously the ones to knock off. Everybody wants the scalp.
South come at them with a fair bit of firepower compared to most other sides.
South actually have the ability to worry them. Where I think this one will be won is in respect for the ball. You know, this is going to be a high intensity game, and I really fucking hope that South bring that uber defence that they've shown a couple of times this season. And this is just a game of guys trying to annihilate each other in defence. And it becomes a battle for territory. And the team that respects the ball, or the team that can keep possession for longer, will be the one that gets there in the end. But a good test of Penrith's resilience and their patience. One of the things I've been happiest about with them this year is that they are comfortable playing an 80-minute game of football. They're comfortable getting in there, weathering the hard patches, weathering the momentum shifts, doing what they need to do to change it, making smart decisions. And if they do that, then they can get over the Rabbits.
I think the game would be a lot more, even more competitive if Cam Murray was there for the Rabbits. I think he's a massive out, and I think it's probably the difference. I think Penrith will win, but I don't think it'll be by any more than 8 points.
Yeah, I think Rabbits need a little bit more time to build. You know, they've been disrupted heavily by injuries over the last, you know, sort of what, month and a half. So, and in that time, they've been, you know, they've clocked a number of wins. But I mean, they've also had that, you know, that massive flogging in the hands of So, like, I just think that they need to, you know, get to their, you know, and there's plenty of time left in the season. They're obviously, you know, in one of the great positions on the ladder at the moment. So they really just need to, I think they need to build and try and get into the finals, you know, close to injury free, I think, to be a legit threat. But, you know, it's an interesting game.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. Finally, best to last, the Mighty Manly Sea Eagles take on the Parramatta Eels at Bankwest. Joey Lussick could debut for the Eels this week, as he has been named in the side in 16 on the bench. Manly side. Okay, so Kieran Foran's out with a hand injury, so Cade Cuss slots in there. Marty Tapau named at prop. He may be, you know, bench to start the game as they have been doing lately. Zach Sadler's back to fill the bench vacancy vacated by Cust in getting on the starting side. Otherwise, fairly settled lineup. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to this game. I've been vocal about not rating the Eels this season so far. I feel like they had a soft draw.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they've struggled to put teams away. And this is the week when all of that fucking, when the bill comes due.
Really?
Eels can't win this fucking game. In fact, if they make it competitive, I'll be very fucking surprised.
Wow.
This is the game, boys and girls. This is the fucking game where people fucking learn. Where they learn what the fuck is up. And I'll tell you what's up. Fucking Manly fucking Sea Eagle cock right up the fucking Parramatta Eels. The way it's always been, the way it always will be.
I've heard enough. Para 13 plus.
Honestly, I'm looking for someone to make an argument about how the Eels can win this fucking game, because I just can't see a pathway to victory for them. Nathan Brown's going to be in the bin for at least 10 minutes this game, potentially 20.
Correct.
During that time, Jason Saab and or Tom Trbojevic are going to score at least 2 tries on aggregate between them. I'm not sure how the distribution goes. I'm not prepared. I can't see the future. I'm not a fucking psychic.
I fucking hope. The only skin I have in this game is that we're getting close to Origin. And I fucking hope that this is billed as a competition for an Origin jersey between Tommy Ritardo and King Nutho. Because I want Gutho to understand that he is not a fucking first choice representative player.
He's not a tenth of the player, fucking Tommy.
Before Tommy eventually biscuits himself before Origin and Gutho gets the spot anyway. But I want him to know that he wasn't first picked.
If they select Gutherson in the 17 for game one of State of Origin, I'll fucking start supporting Queensland. Dead set.
That he will 100% be selected.
He is absolute fucking dog shit and he is a large part. He's 30% of the reason why we lost last year.
Well, he's an Origin player. He was glory holed
by Kurt Capewell.
Absolutely glory holed by Kurt Capewell. And that was before we knew about the glory hole thing either.
That's it.
I mean, the video came later. But we saw
the video
it
didn't
field.
Actually
we saw the,
exist.
We saw the dramatic reenactment.
That bad. It changed the space-time continuum.
Yeah.
And it made something exist to explain how bad Gutho was.
I just don't see Wanga Blake having the fucking defensive fucking facilities to deal with what's going to be thrown at him either.
Yeah, true.
I mean, Opacek, same.
Yeah.
I respect Parramatta for the way they've gone about this season and beaten the pit teams in front of them, but I don't fucking understand it. I don't understand. I mean, and they're going to fucking learn.
Here's the thing: Parramatta are living on an early round victory in the rain against Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's what their 2021 reputation's built on.
Yep.
And to their credit, they legit achieved that victory. It's a thing. It happened.
It happened.
You need a laurel in order to be able to rest on it.
Correct.
You know? I think Manly's got too much attacking power for them.
Yeah. And they are heavy underdogs in this game too. So, as we say, the more you put on, the more you get back. Anything to add, Glenn?
No, I just feel like you've taken a leaf out of my book and you've said a lot of things that could potentially be used against you on a later episode of this very podcast.
Look, I am happy to make the big call, because you know what? If Manly
I'm also happy to make the big call, but quite often they get
if Manly win like I just said they will, then I will never fucking shut up next week. and if they do happen to somehow, you know, get beaten, most probably by referee interference, then I'll make sure that you know that referee is fucking called out for his fucking misbehaviour.
Jesus Christ! If something fucking different happens, then this different thing would be it. Fucking hell, yeah. If my nan had wheels, she'd be a bike. Fucking me.
And if it wasn't for those pesky referees, we would have won every game 40-0 since 1940 fucking seven. Fuck me.
You're not wrong. You're fucking not wrong. You're not wrong, Glenn. I mean, it's taken a couple of... I mean, like, you know, it's taken 12 years, but you finally fucking get it. Who said that the educational fucking institutions of Ayres are poor?
Campbelltown.
I mean, Campbelltown High. Look at this boy. Put a little fucking star on your fucking forehead, mate. Mailbag time. Let's see what we've got this week. Well, here we go. Ryan, first up, said, there's been rumours floating around about Chris Sandow potentially making a comeback to the NRL despite having limited experience in first grade recently. Surely he has to be at the top of the Tigers' list to replace Luke Brooks.
Surely.
Look, I saw some stuff on Twitter today talking about Chris Sandow and him talking himself up, like, you know, saying that he's amazing and how great he is. And look, Albert Kelly's playing in the halves for the Broncos this weekend, so I mean, is it really that far-fetched?
Never say never.
Never say never.
And also, like Chris Sandow, West would be a safe landing spot for him because they don't have a functioning leagues club. Fucking Balmain doesn't.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
It's a fucking hole in the ground. Like, it is literally a hole in the ground. Look, it all adds up. Yep, tick that box, it's happening.
West Campbelltown is chock full of pokies. Don't you worry about that.
The time out of the NRL is about the same for him and Albert Kelly. So, I mean, maybe if the Albert Kelly experiment fails at the Broncos, maybe the SOS will go out to Sandow next.
Surely he's not going to play NRL again. Surely.
No. You wouldn't think so, really. I mean, we can make our jokes about the Tigers and things like that, but there is no
just
club.
Just pause for a second, though, and tell me that the reason Albert Kelly is getting a start has nothing at all to do, or there was no one in Brisbane fucking head office that went, yeah, Benji's still playing okay, though.
Yeah, agreed.
Tell me that isn't exactly what a rugby league club would do. Take one fucking example of one of the most special and gifted players we've seen in a while and go, oh yeah, this is the same as that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's right up there with he played fullback. We'll make him a 5'8".
Yeah.
Applies to everybody.
Yep. Remember that time there was that great fullback and they moved him to 5'8" and he became a serviceable 5'8". So that's just going to happen with every fullback now.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
It's science.
Yeah.
James says, when your team is the NZ Warriors and have got an Aussie CEO, coach, coaching staff, strength and conditioning staff, and now have way more Aussie players than we've ever had, it now feels like we're a different team. I'd rather lose games than our identity. It seems like some clubs, not just mine, ditch their own backyard for players that are from elsewhere and have no connection to the club other than a paycheck. It's disappointing.
Well, fucking you've got half your wish because you're still losing games.
Honestly, that's probably more important for the Warriors than any other side. I mean, they still got plenty of Kiwis though. But yeah, I don't know what the deal is with all the staffing sides of things. I mean, they're non-visible sides. But don't for one second think that I would ever condone hiring Brownie as the coach.
Yeah.
I think that's a massive fucking mistake.
Yeah. And that's nothing to do with his heritage or his nationality.
No, that's just his coach.
Although, there is then something to be said for at club level.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that the Warriors are the only team over there and realistically, New Zealand is nothing more than a glorified suburb of Australia anyway.
Yeah.
So, really, you're reading far too much into it. Your national team, fair enough. If you start to get, you know, Aussie board members and coaches and things like that, and you're worried there, fair enough, be worried. But at club level, like, Nate, do you give two fucks that, you know, Jason Saab drives from Wollongong?
Nope.
There you go. You know? Nope. And I know suburban identity is very different to national identity. You know, and I can see that, you know, being a Kiwi, you are trying to have a national identity. You know, just, yeah, don't read too much into it. Focus more on the team and focus more on the quality of personnel you can get.
I would think they probably have more chance of having Kiwi strength and conditioning staff if, you know, there was some sort of training regime outside of having people erecting scaffolding on the Gold Coast, which is about the extent of Kiwi training or strength and conditioning. So hence they've got to get some Aussies in there to do it properly.
God damn it, boy, you did a racism.
You taught me well, Daddy. You taught me well.
Oh, God.
Hammers, a bit of controversy in Major League Baseball about unwritten rules in the game in regards to the spirit of the game and how the game is played. Are there many, if any, unwritten rules in rugby league?
Not many.
I think the first thing you should have said, you know, if any. No, I think the first thing you should have said was actually explained what exactly the controversy about the unwritten rules and all that sort of thing is. Because I'm not aware. I haven't seen the news. I haven't seen what happened. I'm not sure what the deal is.
Yeah. So your first mistake there was assuming that anyone understands or cares about baseball, short of watching cunts get hit in the face with them.
Yeah. That's pretty
so
exciting.
That was fantastic.
I think that was
an
unwritten rule. I think that's a written rule.
That's it. So feel free to rephrase your question next week and tell us what the unwritten rule is, and then we can answer it. Because there is an unwritten rule not to send in shit questions.
And I don't
Man,
think there are that
poor
many
Hammers.
Rules in rugby league. Anyway, right?
I'm just trying to get myself off his fucking imaginary who would you bring to dinner list. I've seen how the cunt cooks.
I can't think of any unwritten rules for rugby league.
Right. Daniel says, what are we going to name the Tour Nation D-Gen Racehorse?
Undefeated.
It's the undefeated Astros.
Yeah.
Tigers in decline.
There you go. Asterisk. ASS. DER.
They'd kill it. They'd kill it. If you did ASS, they'd kill the name, though. You couldn't do it.
Okay.
You've got all these, you know, standards and.
Yes, true.
I mean, they don't care about whipping the cunts until they drop dead or break their legs and get behind the fucking curtain. But they
don't call them a rude name.
Don't call them a rude name or a name with innuendo attached to it.
Could you call it like coming paprika, but spell it C-O-M-I-N-G?
You probably could. You know, you could probably get away with that one.
Yeah, you would.
Because that's niche to us. Yeah. So yeah, you could get that. Yeah. Just a Grover put in there fireball.
No.
And Ryan put in head injuries. It's self-inflicted, motherfucker. Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, he didn't punch himself in the head.
James said, I'm all for sin binnings, but it'd be better if the players returned to the action running up the tunnel to the sound of their own theme song, like it's their turn in the Royal Rumble. Capewell could run on with a glory hole by Steel Panther. Yeah, I don't think he would want that to be his theme song.
I don't think so.
Usually with theme songs, they're kind of selected by the players.
Yeah.
However, if he was at like a, you know, and it was an away game and I was the guy in charge, yeah, of course, you would do that.
No.
If
it was Capewell, it'd be that I'm not in love song.
Where are we? Oh, here we go. Chris says, should Penrith fans be insulted by all this anti-PVL malarkey? We dominate all that cross our path, but it's not about how good we are, but how shit the game is now. Teams just need to get good.
Well, as I said before, fucking please, send players off. Because as of now, 100% of the time it happens to us, it's a fucking 12-point advantage. So, look, I don't think too many people are saying Penrith are winning because of Volandi's ball. If Penrith were, you know, 9th or 10th last year, made very few roster changes, and now we're leading the competition, then you'd probably have a bunch of people talking about how that's the reason for it. But they were grand finalists last year. They were good in last year's rules. They're good in this year's rules.
That's because last year's rules are essentially this year's rules with, you know, some tweaking.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's when it started. It actually did start after COVID. So, Dan said, disregarding concussions and crackdowns, whatever, why are so many people equating more sin bins or send-offs as a worse product? Personally, I love the drama of it. Even when it's someone on my team, it still gets me on the edge of my seat. It's like getting a multi-ball in pinball. In the rare cases where you've got a player from each team off, it's even better. You get expansive footy. People say it was the worst round of footy ever, but I didn't mind it. And if you're saying it because you think it affected the result, well, you got to play by the rules.
Fair call.
At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, hey?
Mm.
Like it's a shit go to get a speeding ticket. But you don't get them if you're doing the limit.
If you're fucking speeding, you know, yeah, exactly, exactly. Jody says, is the concern the NRL is showing about head knocks going to be the same passing phase as the blood bin? Mofos are allowed every week to run around with blood literally pissing out from their bodies, which a few years ago the NRL cracked down on, but now just let it play on.
Yeah, I think because no one cares about AIDS anymore.
Yeah, but I also don't think they... I don't think it's that bad with the blood. I mean... It gets to the point where they do, you know, you got one referee, so they don't have the ability to sort of see it as quickly sometimes. But the second it is, it's like, you know, they've got to get them strapped up. And if they can't, if they can't stop it, then they've got to get them off.
And they still make them change their jersey and all that.
Yeah. I mean, that still exists, like, the, you know, so.
I honestly don't think that this is going to be a passing phase. I think it's here to stay.
I still
don't think I whether it's because of player compliance or referees just slightly dialing it back a touch, I think they will find a level that's ultimately less than what we saw on Magic Weekend.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I think that people need to prepare themselves for the fact that the sin bin is going to be more readily utilised by referees going forward, and it's going to become, you know, one of those fact of life sort of situations.
Yeah.
Robert says, are the Knights the most worrying team for their fans? All the shit teams are trying to rebuild, but the Knights are the final product, but are woeful. And is it Anthony Seibold's fault? I don't know if they're the final product.
No.
But I feel like they've squandered. They attracted, you know, they got Mitchell Pearce, and then they attracted some great forwards to the side, which also assisted with the development of, like, the Saifidis and stuff. And they developed a side that looked like they were, you know, with Kalen Ponga and blah, 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 looked like they were, you know, they could, not challenge for the title, I think, but you would expect them to make the finals, though.
Yes.
Hasn't eventuated.
No.
So, while I would disagree that they're the final product.
Yeah.
I would say that I feel like they have squandered, like, a golden period of recruitment that they had, where they got some big names like Clemmer and Frizzle and Mitchell Pearce and so on to the side. And, you know, and obviously, yeah, the first domino to fall there was probably when they got Ponga off the Cowboys.
True.
Oh, no, getting a young player that hadn't really played much first grade just because they guaranteed him a first grade spot, essentially, I don't think was a big coup. I think Clem was one of the first big names.
Frizzle was a big signing.
Frizzle this year,
he's the most recent one, though.
But, you know, and even Pearce, to an extent, really wasn't wanted. You know, I think the Knights have a plausible excuse in terms of they have been crueled with injuries.
Yep.
You know, they lost all of their hookers at once. They've had Blake Green fuck himself. They've had Mitchell Pearce injured this year. They've had periods of time with inconsistent rosters.
Yep.
So that I think that's what they'd throw out in terms of excuses. But yeah, I agree with you. They've gone from a team that's on the up and up to now a team that's underachieving.
Mm.
Yep. All right. Warren said, do you reckon the Sharks versus St. George game will be NRL standard given all the missing troops from two below average teams?
No.
Well, I mean, it will be, but, on the lower end of the scale, I'm sure, as we'd expect from, the tanking Sharkies.
I don't think it'd be, the type of low standard that the old Monday night Sharks versus Para games used to dish up back in the day. I think there's enough in St. George, if nothing else, I think there's enough in the Dragons to raise a standard to a certain degree, but it's still going to be a long way from the Penrith South, that's for sure.
Yep. That'll do for the mailbag tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it full-time for episode 400. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links to get a link to our Patreon page, our social media communities, and everything else that we're doing. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron. Patreon.com/ToolNation. Drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. We've got a couple of reviews came through this week on the iTunes. We've got one from Mullers298, 5 stars. No F's given. In this crazy world of PC madness, it's quite refreshing to hear these three degenerate Fs have a bit of fun with some A-grade banter and quality footy analysis. The boys cut through all the BS you hear from mainstream media outlets and provide opinions based more on facts than innuendo. Keep up the good work, lads. P.S. F the Broncos. I've got another one here from Tim the Sparky. 5 stars. And help, stepdad. I'm stuck in the kayak. I was first introduced to Twill a few years ago on a return flight from a FIFO stint in Western Queensland. The post-real dad era was in its infancy. I was just as confused as a 4-year-old amidst the real marriage breakup. Through the tears and popper in hand, we push on. The unapologetic opening lies deter the faint-hearted, which keeps the community planted around the pod the boys have grown. During the last year, I haven't seen a community rally together quite like this one. Nowadays, the real dad is back after all the hard work is done. The trio parallel a real-world step family dynamic with Nate constantly reminding Glenn why he left and Jay always there to rub his nose in it. After the bi-weekly episodes, the Twill Nation rallies together in a Facebook group to talk games, tipping, confectionery, and more. Extra content available through the membership system, and you're better off sending those dollary-doos to the boys than Foxtel. 90% more content and one ad. Storytime and Popo are shit-yourself funny, with listeners providing a connected experience through the mailbag write-ins. The parental advisory for This Week in League is somewhere between PG and not suitable for classification. Thank you, sir. And speaking of the Patreon, I'll give a shout-out to some of our wonderful patrons, Brendan, James, and Mally, one of our long-time listeners and supporters from over in the US. Thank you, all you guys. Tipping. Jamaica out on top, as he has been for several weeks now. Lachlan H and Bega 1978 followed by a bit of a jam there coming from 4th through to 10th with Warmus, Duhigg played against Sammy Dipsy, Benny Tippy, Jack WC 94 and Fabsy rounding out the top 10. And that is it, folks. Do you have anything else that you would like to say before we wrap this one up?
Tigers by 30.
Why?
I'm that confident. I'm that confident.
I'd like to throw a special shout out there to the special cunts that are listening to this episode and to everyone that's been there, whether you've been there for all 400 or whether this is your first one, whether you've gone and come back or been with us the whole time, whichever era you joined in. Legit, this doesn't hit 400 without Nate's fucking hard work and many late nights fucking editing, messaging me going, you fucking muted your mic, or worrying about Glenn fucking driving home and crashing into a tree.
I never worried about that.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't worry about that, but you worried about how hard it was going to be to get in touch with Greg Alexander to ask him how you should behave.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
As a shout out to the listeners, legit, we fucking love you all. We appreciate you cunts. Thank you very much for 400. That's sensational.
That's it. I'll see you for 500.
What he said.
We'll throw a real party. That's it.
Later.
Okay.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.